Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Join us, 603-283-6160, that's 603-283-6160, and with you tonight, it's Aria, Bonnie, and Nikki, and I want to say thank you to someone whose name I just had in front of me, and then I just put away because, you know, I'm terrible at my job, and that person would be, oh, it's Roger Paxton. I didn't even need a list for that. Roger Paxton is tonight's amplifier. That means Roger is a member. I'm not going to misgender Roger. I know Roger's gender. Roger's a he. That means he contributes to the Amps program. That's amps.freetalklive.com. That's our Patreon. So if you like the show, you want to show your support, the Patreon is the best way to do that. It only takes $5 per month. That gets you in. Roger, though, he's giving $10 per month. He's a gold level member. We don't ask that again, although we do certainly appreciate it. So thank you so much, Roger. Haven't kept too close of an eye on Roger since he left New Hampshire. I think he moved to Tennessee.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And
he was a Free Stater. He used to run Pork Fest, and he's really cool.
But he used to run like Pax Libertas Productions and some other stuff, and I briefly had a podcast on Pax Libertas Productions, but my co-host at the time, it was what were we calling it? The Libertine. The Anarchist Shemale and the Libertine MILF was the name of the show.
And sounds great.
I mean, it was, right? But she only came out for like the one episode, and I was never able to get her out for another. And I hate it when that happens. So that podcast ultimately ended up going nowhere. But it was a lot of fun. But Roger, thank you for that opportunity. You know, it made things easier that I already had that sort of connection to some extent when I first came to New Hampshire, when I first came to Pork Fest, and I met Roger actually there in person. He actually ran the first Pork Fest that I ever attended, the first Porcupine Freedom Festival that I ever actually attended. He was the Dennis Pratt of that Pork Fest, which when I say that, I mean Dennis Pratt is the person who's
the producer,
the organizer.
I think is what they call it.
And that year it was Roger Paxton. Awesome guy, Roger. Thank you so much for your support. That's amps.freetalklive.com if you want to join. That's amps.freetalklive.com. So we're talking here about the Chevron deference, which, again, I used bad terminology previously. Basically, you got all of these regulatory agencies like the EPA, FinCEN, the IRS, countless other three-letter agencies, right? And the Chevron deference is, look, if Congress has not said that you cannot do something, that the EPA cannot regulate something, or that the IRS cannot regulate something, then the IRS can regulate it, or FinCEN can regulate it, or whatever.
What even constitutes ambiguity? That word is ambiguous. Ambiguous.
And that's such obviously bad law. That means in order for us to have a controlled, limited government, Congress has to specify every little
which
thing
is impossible.
These agencies are not allowed to do. No, it's completely impossible, and that's fundamentally the opposite of how the United States is supposed to work. The U.S. Constitution specifically states like 8 things the U.S. government is allowed to do, and everything else it specifically says they're not allowed to do.
It's 3-letter agencies.
Right.
It's like a workaround.
It is, because Article 2, Section 8, which is where they outline the various things that Congress can do, it's very, very short. It's not even a full page of stuff that they're allowed to regulate, the stuff that they're allowed to control. And it specifically says, the 10th Amendment, that anything that's not specifically authorized to the U.S. government is therefore authorized to the states or to the people. So that's it. If the government does not say you can do something, if the Constitution does not say you can do something, then you, the government, cannot do it. The Chevron deference is fundamentally counter to all of that. It says if they haven't said that you can't, then the EPA is authorized to do it.
But luckily now the justices are going to take up a case that explicitly asks them to overturn Chevron. The High Court announced the move on Monday in a brief unsigned order, as is typical, indicating at least four justices agreed to take up the case.
Okay, well that's definitely encouraging.
Herring fishing company Loper Bright Enterprises is appealing a ruling that left in place a National Marine Fisheries Service, NMFS, regulation based on the doctrine, Chevron.
That's really interesting. I mean, it wouldn't do me any good, but it would do... Ian's going to have to appeal his either way, right? Like, even if the Supreme Court does this and they repeal the Chevron deference, he's still going to have to actually do his appeal. It'll just make it easier for him to win. But they're not going to say, okay, well, you win and your appeal, the conviction's done out. Like, he's still going to fight the appeal. But so the Chevron deference being repealed by the Supreme Court doesn't mean anything to me. But Ian winning his appeal would mean a lot to me because I did take a plea deal, right? And there are almost no scenarios in which you can appeal a plea deal. However, the Supreme Court saying that this governmental body did not have authorization to do this in the first place, that's one of the three things that I can appeal on. The other one is like not having confidence in my attorney or some sort of obvious malfeasance in the court system or something like that. And obviously, I have a phenomenal trust in my attorney. He did a fantastic job, so I can never argue that. However, the appeal thing, if Ian wins his appeal, then I can appeal my plea deal. And it's very unlikely in most circumstances that one can ever appeal a plea deal. And it won't do anything for any of the other four or any of the other three of the crypto six who took deals. Well, yeah, because if he wins his wire fraud appeals, then that would help them.
Oh, okay. I see.
But the Chevron deference is not going to help them in regard to the wire fraud. And I don't know how that's all going to go, but I'm obviously, for personal reasons, I'm watching the appeal here very closely. But based on how all this goes, like, at best, I might be able to get my conviction, like, purged.
Yeah, just go to prison for, you know, a year or whatever.
I bought a countdown timer, right, because I thought it would be a good idea to have this at the Porcupine Freedom Festival there at our Free Talk Live site, a LED countdown timer that is counting down to the second that I have to be in prison. Right?
That makes me anxious just thinking about that.
It's a conversation starter.
That was my thinking,
yeah.
Right? And I was like, this would be cool, right? But I did sit and I was like, well, I'm going to go. I'm curious.
Like,
right?
You're going to have to look at it.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, I was like, I want to see what it's like right now. So I did the math and I put it in. And, like, watching this thing count down from, like, 40 days and 21 hours. I'm like, This is going to drive me nuts.
Yeah.
But I don't just hate having, like, a timer of this is when I have to leave for work or whatever. No, this is a timer on when I have to go to prison.
Yeah, so it's very different.
It's a little over 40 days out, so...
Like, you get to come home after work.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, obviously, you get to come home after you go to jail, but that's
eventually.
Like... Eventually, yeah.
But yeah, even when Ian wins his appeal, like, I'm going to already have served my prison time. So
and that's the thing. The process, a lot of time, is the punishment. Like, even if Ian gets to stay out on appeal, he's been in home jail for, like, 3 years. And
yeah.
It's really annoying.
Yeah.
He's not allowed to leave the state.
And it's a long legal battle, right? That's why I'm not appealing my sentencing, though. A lot of people say, you got to appeal this sentence. I'm like, well, first of all, the judge, like, way under sentenced me. The guidelines were 30 months. I barely got half that. The prosecutors were arguing for 37. They got less than half of what they wanted. I'm not happy to go to prison, but, like, based on the numbers, the judge went way under the sentencing guidelines in order to sentence me.
I also think it's good for your mental health to have that perspective, you know what I mean? Like, if you were to just be super negative about everything, what good is that going to do you, you know?
It's not going to change anything.
Like, you should have, positive, right?
Like, you should have perspective. Yeah. I think it's, you know, important and healthy.
So even when all these appeals take place, I'm not appealing my sentence, that's what I was getting at, because by the time I would be in a courtroom arguing that, I would have already served my time and gotten released and presumably would be carrying on with my life. And, like, the reason that I moved forward with the hearing on that day, even though my attorney was like, look, The judge is going to incarcerate you if we proceed with this today. We have to put it off because they're going to use this stuff at trial and blah, blah, blah. We need 90 more days. I was like, no, we're moving forward today because having it hanging over you, it's not good. I want it behind me. I want to move forward, not backward. I don't want to stay in the present. I want to move forward. And that was the only way of moving forward. And I don't want to hang here in the present with the sentencing. I want to move forward. I even looked into the possibility of starting my prison sentence early. Like, I contacted my attorney and my supervising officer. I was like, hey, look, so what has to happen here for me to, like, start serving my sentence this month? Because 1 month starting sooner, if I start 1 month sooner, then I get out 1 month sooner. And
yeah,
that's good for me, right?
Yeah.
But it would require a court order from the judge and all this other
nonsense.
Yeah,
too much, yeah.
Like,
by the time you get all that, you'll be like, it'll be June.
Well, it's not that important, right? Like, if it was not a big deal, and once I had everything out of the way, sure, I would like to be able to just turn up and like, all right, well, here we go. Because I have to report by 2 p.m. on June the 27th, right? But that's by that day at that time. So, presumably, any time before that, I would be able to. But
yeah,
No, they did not like that idea at all. And, like, I don't want to go to jail, but I'm going to have to. And it's not really doing me any favors to put it off by another month or whatever.
And what I was going to say about your sentencing, I mean, there's really, even if you did postpone it and you were able to review whatever about Ian's trial, there's still no guarantee that it would be any different. You know, that the end result...
I think it would have been worse. Because the judge didn't use anything from the trial in the sentencing.
That's actually a great point, yeah.
And if we had made this big deal about it and requested a 90-day extension specifically for this particular subject, the prosecutors would have used evidence at trial because they would have had 90 days to prepare for it.
Yeah, it made it way worse.
Yeah, so they have 90 days, you know, too.
Right. So I think it would have been way worse to have held off for another 90 days. And, you know, now that I'm one step closer to moving forward with my life,
yeah,
and that's important to me. So what else is going on with the Chevron deference? It's just that the Supreme Court...
There's just a couple more paragraphs about that specific herring fishing company's,
yeah,
their reason for wanting to overturn it. Their attorney says, nearly four decades of judicial experience with Chevron have demonstrated that courts are incapable of applying its two-step Chevron framework in a consistent manner.
Nice. Well, I hope he's successful in getting that undone, because in other cryptocurrency news... If I can find it, there's a lot happening in cryptocurrency, right? Like, the stuff against the Crypto 6 was only one minor thing. The SEC was going after Library at the same time. They've been going after Ripple. They've been going after people for years from localbitcoins.com. The U.S. government is targeting cryptocurrency. Well,
exchanges are leaving the U.S. Local Bitcoins doesn't exist anymore.
They aren't. I can't say that I blame them. And SEC and Coinbase are having a bit of a spat, and Coinbase is suing the SEC. And I don't know how to feel about this, right? It's the devil. Coinbase is the devil, right? They are. But they're also fighting the devil, which is the government. So, like, who do I root for?
Choose your demon.
Yeah, I was going to say, they're probably just different demons.
So who do I root for here? Like, Coinbase winning would be a good thing for me and the things I believe in, not because of Coinbase, but because it means the government loses, and the government is worse. Okay, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Government always the worst.
Yeah, government is worse for the things I believe in than Coinbase is, except for the fact that Coinbase wants to use that worse government to do the things that they want to do, which
maybe
is counter to the things I want.
Probably not.
I can't possibly win. Well, I could win, right? It would be better. What did you say, Bonnie?
I said maybe Coinbase would learn their lesson if they win against the government and then be like, yeah, let's not do what we've been doing, but I doubt it.
I wish, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's going to happen, unfortunately.
I know, but that would be the best possible outcome of this. I was still trying to process my thoughts and how I felt about this when you said that, and my brain went,
you're like, wait, somebody else said something.
Well, it wasn't just someone else said something. Like, someone else just said something that's actually, like, really hopeful, and we need to find out what that was. So I would love to see that happen. But the SEC, that chair, that's Gary Gensler. I think his name is Gary. It's Gensler, at the very least. He's clapping back at Coinbase. Says that crypto rules already exist.
Does this article say clapping back?
Yeah.
That's disgusting. Yeah. Gary Gensler claps back. I want to fire whoever wrote that?
Yeah, I wasn't
too... How old are they? We need to know. Is there an age?
They're too old to be writing headlines like that.
I really don't like that. Anyways.
So, what's been going on with the SEC and cryptocurrency is that the SEC refuses to... There are no cryptocurrency regulations and crypto rules. Coinbase tried becoming SEC compliant, and the SEC said, well, Coinbase, what do you think you should do? So Coinbase was like, this is it. This is the moment we've been waiting for. So they brought in their attorneys and all of their dudes to sit around, and they thought that they were getting to write the laws that were going to govern cryptocurrency and crypto exchanges in the United States, because that's what they were trying to do from the beginning. So they presented these things to the SEC. So these are the things that we think a company should have to do, and these are the things that we've done. So SEC said, yeah, no, that's not it, and then sued them.
That's hilarious, honestly.
It kind of is, right? Like, I enjoy seeing the devil suffer, and that's...
Well, it's an important lesson. Like, this is what happens when you try to work with the government to screw over other people. Like...
Yeah,
you have to realize that they're always going to screw you over, and they're always going to be more powerful. So, unfortunately, that's what happens.
So, the Coinbase sent, you know, lobbyists into Washington like a year ago, maybe 2 years ago at this point, and they were able to meet with all of these regulatory agencies except the SEC. The SEC refused to meet with them, and I think that should be a sign of where things are. The SEC, of course, out of control. Gensler, out of control. He's even been brought in front of Congress, and we played some of the videos here where some congressional official was just ripping him to shreds because of his behavior as the leader of the SEC and how he has created a distinct lack of clarity in crypto regulations. He's created a climate of fear, and he's chasing business and money out of the United States with his actions and ingenuity.
Isn't he the one that changed his profile picture on Twitter to like a... Doge with sunglasses, meaning like...
Gary Gensler?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It was somebody from the SEC. They changed their... It was like the day after a victory of the SECs. They changed their profile picture to like a Doge with sunglasses, meaning like...
Like
LOL.
What is it supposed to be like opposite of the laser eyes or something? Is that the point? The point was,
haha, gotcha. Which is really messed up.
No, from what I'm seeing here, he's just a normal... looking evil dude. There's no Dogecoin or...
It might have not been Doge. It might have been like this other meme of a little boy that gets sunglasses. But either way, somebody from the SEC changed their profile picture to this meme that basically means, haha, trolled, haha, pwned.
I believe it.
I win.
I mean, that sounds like the SEC, but it doesn't appear to have been him. And if it was him, he changed it. I mean, he doesn't seem like the kind of guy who's got a sense of humor, though. So anyway, the chair of the U.S. I'm sorry.
I said it's not even funny. It's dirty.
Yeah, true. The chair of the SEC has hit back at Coinbase's petition, compelling the agency to provide a clear stance on crypto regulation. Coinbase even got the Chamber of Commerce from the U.S. government to sign their petition, agreeing that the SEC needs to provide clarity.
Mm.
Because the SEC argues there are already adequate laws in place. In a May the 15th keynote speech at some conference, Gensler was asked about the dispute with Coinbase, the rules on crypto, and, quote, why the SEC doesn't publish rules for that market. In response, Gensler staunchly asserted that the rules have already been published, although they haven't.
And there was literally a lady from the SEC, I don't know her name, that was in a video being interviewed, and she was like, the reason that we are not clear about the rules is because that would create a framework for people to follow to avoid the rules. So
what?
That's why we're unclear.
But that doesn't even make sense.
They're completely crazy, right?
Because how do you follow the rules if there is no guide, like... The opposite point could also be made.
Well, if people know the rules, then they'll know how to get around the rules, so that's why they just cannot publish the rules.
So basically they're like, we just want to arrest everybody, and we want to ruin all of your lives.
That's pretty much exactly it.
Yeah, so that's why we can't, you know, tell you the rules, because...
Gensler stood in front of Congress, and he refused to answer whether or not Ethereum was a security. Right? They asked him point blank, well, is Bitcoin a security? And he said that Bitcoin is not a security. But he won't say that about any of the others, and in a lot of them, he won't even answer. He will say, he said that
Does he know what these things are? Like, who is this guy?
He's the chair of the SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission.
Yeah, but, like, does he know anything about cryptocurrency?
Of course not. All he knows is, look
at him. So if they ask him about Ethereum, how do we even know that he knows what Ethereum is?
Well, he probably has a cursory knowledge, right? Like, it's his job to crack down on cryptocurrency, so at least that's what he thinks it is. So he probably has some understanding of what Ethereum is. It's a cryptocurrency, right? And it's a blockchain platform on which tokens and smart contracts exist.
He's probably just being very careful to not say anything because it's involved in a certain case he wants to bring up soon or something like that.
I think it's because he doesn't want to limit his power.
Mm.
If he says that Ethereum is not a security, then he means that he won't be able to target Ethereum.
I don't know if that would even limit anything because in the library case, they repeatedly used a unpaid intern's Reddit, not even intern, an unpaid volunteer moderator on library's Reddit page. They used his statements as an argument against library multiple times, but they would not accept actual statements from, like, the head of the SEC and other people who were involved in the SEC as evidence. And the judge allowed all that. Oh, that doesn't mean anything that they said that.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that happened with Library and the SEC, it was heartbreaking to watch. And it's been happening for a very long time. And Jeremy's a friend of mine. I've hated to see this happen.
Jeremy, it's really sad. I went to one hearing, and it was just really sad.
Jeremy created a beautiful piece of technology called Library that allows you to share files and information across the internet in a decentralized way without having to go through the Pirate Bay for torrenting or any of these other shady torrenting sites. There's none of that.
And the good thing about it is whatever the SEC did do to them, which sucks, Library still exists.
Library does still exist.
And it can't be taken away. It can't just go away.
So
it's a protocol.
I haven't really been following that. Like, I knew this was all going on, but what was the...
They argued that Library Credits, LBC, was a security.
Okay.
And that Library, the company, by creating and selling Library Credits, promised people or suggested that people would make a profit with these Library Credits.
I mean, they didn't, though. I mean, I don't... I mean, I guess
the court ruled that they did. I don't know if they did or not. I didn't see any of the evidence. It doesn't sound to me like something they would do because that's silly. It's like, hey, buy some library credits because they're useful and they allow you to post content onto the library platform, which is what they're for, because they're a utility token. That makes sense to me.
Yeah,
I never heard anyone in
like
library
it wasn't
say,
like, oh, like you're gonna get rich, like this is an investment. Like it wasn't portrayed like that at all.
It was always that I saw library credits were purchased and advertised and
given away.
And largely given away, yes. Specifically to promote strength in the library platform. Like, in order to put your file on the library network and make it available to other people, you had to have library credits. So that was the reason you wanted library credits. Not to hold them and then sell them for a profit. That was why they were being sued, because the federal government was arguing that the possibility of being able to make money off of it made it a security. It was a complete travesty. 603-283-6160.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
USA News Update. Walgreens now set to pay San Francisco nearly $230 million to settle a case over the company's distribution of opioids. The city of San Francisco will collect the money over the span of 14 years. The attorney's office saying between 2014 and 2020, opioid-related overdose deaths in the city grew by nearly 500%.
and Walgreens was at least partially at fault. Johnny Depp says he doesn't have much further need for Hollywood. The actor took part in a press conference for his new French-language film, Jean du Barry, Wednesday at the Cannes Film Festival, where he was asked if he felt boycotted by Hollywood.
Yeah, you feel a bit boycotted. Do I feel boycotted now? No. Not at all.
Depp lost a role in the Harry Potter franchise following abuse allegations made by his ex-wife Amber Heard. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident, or injured at work, you have rights, and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good, they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. 800-509-4492. That's 800-509-4492.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperT.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Free Talk Live, and there's still time if you want to get on the air with us. You're more than welcome. 603-283-6160. That's 603-283-6160. And you know, Dash has given us 32 Dash per month to promote their cryptocurrency, their usable cryptocurrency. They're one with actually usable fees, as I've heard about Bitcoin. And again, it's been like 2.5 years at this point. 2 years and 3 months since I used cryptocurrency, and man, that hurts, right? Like, I love cryptocurrency enough that I'm basically about to go to prison for it. Like, this is something that's very important to me, and it has meant a lot to me throughout the last 7, 8, 9, 10 years. I don't know exactly how long I've been watching and into cryptocurrency, but it's been a very long time, and I can't touch the stuff, and that hurts. That's like a musician being, and I am a musician, that's like a musician being told, you can't make music for 2 years and 3 months. It's like, dude, that's going to drive them crazy. Now, cryptocurrency isn't an expressive outlet for me, but it still sucks. But anyway, so Dash was usable as a cryptocurrency even then. All of the stores around here in Keene that took cryptocurrency, they all took Dash. They all took Bitcoin. They all took Bitcoin Cash. Some of them took some other. Some of them would take Monero. Some of them would take Litecoin. Actually, none of them ever actually took Litecoin, which was frustrating because I had some Litecoin, and like none of these stores wanted anything to do with it except what was then Route 101 Goods, but they just took it and flipped it into Bitcoin. So it was nice that they took Litecoin, but Litecoin was supported by AnyPay, which was the app that all the stores around here used. Dash was the big one, and Bitcoin Cash was the other big one that were just widely used. If you went to one of the crypto meetups or you just went to one of these places that accepted cryptocurrency, you were almost certainly going to see someone using Bitcoin Cash or Dash to make their purchase, not Bitcoin or Litecoin or Monero or anything else. So we've always been big fans of Dash here because it is a usable cryptocurrency, and the Dash Decentralized Autonomous Organization is giving us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash. And the reason we have to say that is because of the SEC. Now, it's obvious when we're promoting something on the show, it's obvious that we're promoting it because we're being paid to promote it, right? But that's not good enough with the SEC. And I realize there's some ambiguity. Like, I talk about Windscribe a lot on here and how great it is as a VPN. Again, haven't used it in like 2.5 years, so it may not be that good anymore. But back then, it was really good. I loved Windscribe. But they've never paid us to say that. And it's never been something that we promoted on Free Talk Live. It's just a VPN that I happen to like. And you, when I talk about Windscribe, I would expect most people out there to just assume it's something that has been advertised or promoted as someone who is paying us to advertise it. But it's not. It's just something I care about. But there's a difference between occasionally bringing up something and, like, consistently doing what is very clearly a live read, which is what we do with Dash. But that's not good enough with the SEC. This is why they went after, who was it? Who was that dumb
chick? Lindsay Lohan?
Yeah.
She's not dumb.
The other one, then.
They went after Lindsay Lohan, too. And okay. All she did was say, like...
Wasn't it the same thing?
It was the same thing, yes.
Yeah.
They went after both of them for, like, the same thing.
I don't know enough about Lindsay Lohan to call her dumb. Kim Kardashian, though, I know enough about her to call her dumb.
She's really smart, too, but okay.
Kim Kardashian?
Yes.
I strongly disagree. Her father was smart. Her father
She's
got
a lawyer, too.
But she didn't go to law, like, I don't know.
She went to law school. She just hasn't passed the baby bar yet.
I don't think she's intelligent.
Did she go to law school?
And it's not just about being smart. It's about, being a lawyer. It's right. About that she has turned, I don't want to say what, her tape into, like...
Her sex tape, right.
She is, like, one of the richest people in the world. You know, that type of thing. It's not just about...
I mean, there's nothing wrong with having a sex tape.
No, she's trying to...
That's not what makes her stupid.
It's not just that she had a sex tape. It's that she... If you can say that on the radio.
Yeah, we can say sex tape on the radio.
Okay. It's that she turned it into not just a 15 minutes of fame. She is, like, a crazy, savvy businesswoman. I mean, smart...
But I was under the impression that was Kris Jenner.
Well, Kris Jenner definitely helped her with that, but it's not like Kris Jenner runs every single one of her businesses or has the personality that Kim Kardashian has turned into a empire.
All right, yeah. I'll backpedal. I honestly don't know enough about Kim Kardashian to say that she's stupid either.
And I don't know that she, like, is good at math.
She's a goblin, though.
Oh, yes, she is a goblin. Wait, is it? No, a hobbit.
Yeah, that's a hobbit, yeah. But I don't know if she's stupid. You are right. That's not fair for
she's
me.
She's shorter than me.
Stupid.
She's, like,
yeah,
really
but,
short.
Yeah,
she's...
but you're not a...
Kim Kardashian?
Yeah.
Really?
Kim
oh, she's shorter than you. Okay. I misheard that. I was like, yeah, but you're not a dumpy little hobbit. So.
Dumpy?
Well, she is.
She's shorter than me and probably weighs, like, 50 more pounds than me.
Oh, my God. That's rough. I mean, South
well,
Park...
Well, it's the butt implants.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
South Park... eviscerated both her and Ye. Like, those two, I've never seen South Park just, like, do that to someone.
I don't get it. Of course I like fish sticks. Who doesn't like fish sticks?
Yeah, and they did a whole song for Ye. Back then he was Kanye, and he was a gay fish, and it's so good what they did. And him writing his, doing his music video as he come to terms with being married to a hobbit, it's South Park at some of their best. Have you never seen it?
No.
Oh, my God. You've got to look into it. It's so good. But we are a call-in show here in 603-283-6160. If you want to join us, again, that's 603-283-6160.
To be fair, I was only saying Lindsay Lohan isn't stupid because I like her.
That's fair. I mean, that's it. She's probably not stupid either, though. Yeah.
And she's just like...
Oh.
Oh, hi. I didn't know Sarah was on.
Yeah, I hit the on-air button, but then you said, but to be fair,
sorry.
So I let you go. Then
go ahead, Sarah.
Oh, yeah. Whatever that was. I just want to say that Albuquerque?
Yes.
Service aid patrol cars. I don't know if we send out social workers to
you do?
Remedy the homeless situation.
Her and Richard.
How do you remedy the homeless situation, Sarah? Tell me more about this.
I mean, it's they figured out, like, they sent a cop out, and it's some homeless people that just, you know, got knocked out on the sidewalk or something, and you know, they're not, like, then they get intimidated.
By the cops?
They're afraid, you know, they don't want to beat them up and take them to jail, that kind of stuff. So,
yes.
They actually got a social worker patrol, and I've seen these cars, and then they help them out with water, and then ask them, do you need help?
So, I want to make sure I understand this correctly. I mean, the police have no reason to be responding to calls like this. The homeless situation in the United States, more often than not, is a health care crisis or a mental health crisis.
Right, but it's something like that. So,
it's something well
so
beyond the ability of the police to respond to. Right?
Low IQ, aggressive toddlers.
Right. I'm with you on this.
The police,
extent.
The homeless.
We should completely defund the police. Like, get rid of them. Fire them all. Get rid of all of them. Right? And let them go to work in the coal mines or whatever. They don't even have to mine coal. Just give them a pickaxe and some dirt. And be like, here you go, chief. And then pay them 50 cents a day. Or whatever. They're stupid. They'll never know. But we do need... But it would be useful to have some sort of organization that is out there to respond to people who are having mental health crises. And that's not police. It's completely insane. It's completely insane when you think about how the police are the people who respond when your 16-year-old is having a nervous breakdown and threatening to kill themselves.
Like, you would think somebody in more of a counselor role, like somebody with a psychology background... would be far more equipped to handle that situation. And I've heard some people argue, oh, well, what if the person's violent, this, that, and the other thing? I mean, even in my job as a nurse, I've encountered violent patients several times, and
have to kill them.
I didn't kill them. We don't even call the cops on them.
Do you mean to tell me that you have never beaten someone's face open with a flashlight?
No.
How do you do your job?
It's amazing. Yeah.
Kudos, Nikki. Clap. Golf clap.
So, I mean, it's like, I've seen these cars by the Gateway Center, the new homeless shelter. So they have, I've seen about like 10 of those cars at about 15 social workers around the cars, you know, getting ready to, when they open up the center.
That's great. Sarah, it sounds like New Mexico sucks, but it sounds like you're at least doing this one thing correctly. And that's good. I'm happy to hear that. And thank you so much for the call tonight. It's always good to hear a positive development, because the sun and the desert out there, it seems to make you people crazy. And when I say you people, I mean you people who live in the desert, where there's 110 degrees sunshine, 120 degrees sunshine, no humidity, and nothing to do except mess.
No humidity is the good part. It's so much hotter in San Antonio in the humidity. I lived there, and
I've
in Utah.
Been places, and I like humidity better.
It's not that I'm saying like or dislike. It's a known fact. Like, Yuma, Arizona is the driest place in the world. I mean, not in the world, in the United States. And they have what's it called, I forget what it's called, but they have their wet season, and it's tons of people die because it's the same temperatures but crazy humid, and that's way hotter than they're actually used to. It's called La Nina, something like that.
I think I can agree with that. I'm from Mississippi, which is borderline tropical rainforest. To be a tropical rainforest, you have to have like an 85% year-round average humidity. And Mississippi is like 79 to 81% year-round. So it's like right under being a tropical rainforest. And it sucks.
Yeah. I wouldn't want like Florida humid, but.
Yeah, right now it's probably in the mid-90s there. And I'm going to look up real quick because I'm not sure what it is.
Already too hot.
But here it's dropping down to freezing tonight. I'm like, what? Now this is insane to me.
Okay, these are like two opposite ends of the spectrum. Both are bad. Like, we just need like 70 degrees, maybe 80.
I stand corrected. It's 70 degrees in Horn Lake, Mississippi
now. Okay, and it's 30.
Which is right, south of
Memphis. What is it, like 35 degrees here? So
that's the thing I've noticed about like Alabama. I'm not as familiar with Mississippi, but they're right by each other. It's like, it never gets temperature, the number never goes up as high as it does in like San Antonio, or especially not like Las Vegas. But
it's 85
it's
tomorrow.
Miserable.
They like, seem to be having a cool day today.
85 in Alabama is so much worse than 85 in the middle of Utah.
Yeah, they have a humidity of 74% in Horn Lake right now. It's only 70
just
degrees.
Just half that's fish what... people, I can't stand it.
Yeah, that,
what is?
Just being in humidity. I mean, it's pretty humid here, but it's just somehow not as bad. Maybe it's because it's only like a few months.
I think it's because it typically doesn't get as hot. Like, I just really, really do not like dry heat because I don't, it just makes your lips chat. Like, even right now where it's very dry here right now. And I just,
yeah,
I can't
winter,
deal with it.
The whole winter is, like, terrible for my hands and my feet and my
Yeah, it's just
lips.
Awful. Like, there needs to be a balance. Like, it doesn't have to be Florida, but, like, we can have some, you know, like... 60 degrees with some humidity.
That's why, like, spring and fall here are amazing. I mm-hmm. love it so
it's
much.
It's the balance, yeah.
It's turning, you know,
last
a little
year we
cold,
didn't get a spring, and I hated that.
Yeah, that was so weird.
We went right from me having to turn on the heater to me having to turn on the air conditioner overnight. That's, like, I haven't even put my air conditioners in yet this year, and it's 30 degrees. It's 27 degrees tonight. Huh? I'm not putting them in anytime soon.
This has been the best spring since I've lived here.
It's perfect. You just raise the windows up and let it cool off, and you shut them when it gets too cold, and it's perfect. It's so nice having different seasons. Then I look at Mississippi right now, where my sister's at, where it's 85 degrees tomorrow. Now, to be fair, we've had a few 80-degree days here and there, but other than today, they had a high of 78 today, but it's just consistently 77, 80 degrees every... They got a low of 64 degrees tonight. And I honestly, hearing that, I'm like,
that
I kind of miss
nice.
That.
Yeah.
There's something that feels good about going outside at night and it's humid and hot still. There's something that feels so good about that, but then you're like dreading the sun coming up. Because it's going to be so bad.
I do like that about these summers here, because I have a dog, and... Prior to that, I didn't spend a whole lot of time outside except to, you know, go outside and smoke a cigarette or whatever. But now I have a dog, and there's no better time to, like, ride my bike with her than at night when it's, you know, 70 degrees. And it's so perfect. It's peaceful. She loves it. I love it. And all you hear is, like, the slow whirring of the wheels and the little click-clack of her nails on the pavement. And she's so good at it. Today, she almost killed me, though.
Oh, she ran out in front of it?
No.
Oh.
No, look, I thought she had already gone number two, and she hadn't. Hmm. And when you're walking her, and she decides now's the time, that's all. That's the time. It's going to happen. And
press the brakes.
Well, I didn't know that was happening. She just suddenly veered off. She bolted off because she's strong. She's not huge, but she's a full size golden retriever. She's like, I gotta go, Mom, and she ran out into the grass, and I just went down.
Oh my God!
It was painful, and she just sat there. She's like, sorry. I was like, it's not even your fault. I thought you had just done this a little while ago, but she did that to me
a few days. But she seems to do a good job at it usually. Like, the videos you've shown me are just like, wow, my dog could never do that. He would freak out. He hates the moving of
Oh, she does a great job with it. She knows to stay on my right side, and she knows not to go in front of me. Like, if I say, go to the right side, or, you know, not over there, or whatever, she knows when I say something that it means she's supposed to trot along beside me, and she does a great job of doing that. Unless she has to poop. In which case, God help you. Because she did that to me a long time ago, too. But she did that to me more recently in Target. It was her first trip ever inside Target. So it was a big deal for her, right? Because Target doesn't allow pets.
Mm-hmm.
And she's a service animal in training officially, not an emotional support animal. She's going to be an actual service animal trained to pick stuff up. Because maybe, not that I need her to pick stuff up, but she can do that. So I'm going to have her do that. But anyway... So, technically, she's training to be a support animal. So, I took her into Target. She was so good, she just trotted along beside me. And it had been less than 30 minutes since she had pooped. Less than 30 minutes. But it was time.
She did that in Target?
She did.
Oh, God.
And it was
that
awful.
Is so embarrassing.
Well, I mean, I didn't find it embarrassing. And she's a dog. She does what dogs do, right?
Like, it would just be... So just like, why now? That's all.
So yeah. I took out a baggie and I cleaned it up, and I just so happened to be on the very aisle with Clorox wipes.
Mm. Yeah, so I was like, convenient.
Well, we're going to use some of these, and obviously I paid for them afterward, but, you know, that it made it super convenient, and it was all done, and then we went back to it, and she's very well behaved. So good on her for that. And I don't remember why we got into all of that, but let's keep going with the phones. We do have a caller on the line, and if I can press the right button, we might actually get that caller on the air. Caller, what's on your name? You're on Free Talk Live.
Hello. I was calling. I had a question for you guys. First off, just want to say, love the show. Love everything y'all do, everything y'all talk about. I grew up very, very far-right conservative. Both parents were preachers. Now I, yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty far-right conservative.
Yeah, I moved to Tennessee.
Okay.
Met a gal. She lost both of her parents, took custody of her younger brother. Now, her younger brother came out as trans. And
so just so I can be clear, what I don't know how to ask. Okay, so is it a brother now?
It's a sister.
Okay.
Yeah. So went by David, now has requested to be called Dawn. And I absolutely am on board with that 100%. You know, I absolutely will support her 100%. Love her to death.
Awesome.
That's never going to change.
That's the most important thing. And as long as she knows that, that's the only thing that really matters.
Yeah. And the issue that I have is my mom has passed away. She passed away last year, but my father's still alive. And he knows that I have a family here. We're not super close. But after my mom's passing, I'm trying to build back that relationship with him. And I don't know how to explain that to him.
Yeah.
Or how to explain to Dawn that my family is nothing like me.
Didn't Dawn grow up in Tennessee? Probably knows enough people that are bigots. They're the ones that, you know, we're going to pass the whole drag queen ban, right?
Yeah.
All right, well, she's likely aware that this type of person already exists.
Yeah, and it's one of those things, super sensitive. I am...
Well, you're not responsible for anything your father may believe or say or feel, right? And I suspect...
Correct.
...that Dawn has noticed that you don't seem to be especially close to your father. Has she ever met your father or anyone else in your family?
No, and I want to make that happen one of these days. My dad's getting up there in age, you know, and she has no significant family. Both parents are gone. The rest of the family's kind of estranged. Got a 80-year-old grandfather that comes to visit every now and then. And he's accepting. But he's not going to be around much longer. And I've got this, you know, this 16-year-old kid who deals with depression and all of this stuff, you know, mental issues. I mean, we've gone through some stuff involving, like, had to go see a psychiatrist, all of that, just suicidal stuff like that.
Sure. I mean, it sounds like a stronger sense of community would be good, because I have no family to speak of either. And, you know, a lot of the people here in New Hampshire, a lot of the libertarians don't really have a family to speak of. Like, I don't have my family in the South doesn't accept me. I don't have anything to do with them. Largely, it's the similar reasons that you don't really have anything to do with your family, right? And that Dawn probably doesn't have anything to do with a lot of her family. But here in New Hampshire, I do have a lot of people who provide that same sort of filial connection that a family would otherwise provide. Okay. Like I have Matt Roach, who's my brother, Nikki, Bonnie, my sisters, right? Yeah. And Ian, my brother. But there's no actual blood relation between any of those. And that sense of community, a lot of people get that from churches. Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons that churches are so popular. But we get that from our libertarian community. So it sounds like what could be missing here would be an accepting community that you all could be part of that could provide Dawn with that sort of grandfather-esque figure without the possible bigotry. Have you asked your father what his perceptions are of trans people?
I grew up until I was probably 18, 19 years old with the whole God hates the gays type of church.
Okay. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in Kansas.
Oh.
Yeah, just super right-wing conservative. I mean, and political belief aside, just...
Right. Now, I know the type of...
people.
I know the type of Christians you're talking about, right? So, pretty clear then what they think about... what they're going to think about, you know, transsexuals or transgenderism or whatever. So, I don't know. That is the only thing I can think of. You know, if the reason you're doing this is because you think that Dawn or whoever else should have a stronger sense of family, I don't think that that's going to come about from what you described your father as being.
It's not necessarily that so much as I'm trying to reconnect with my father after, I mean, we didn't talk for almost 8 years. So I'm trying to reconnect with my father after my mom's passing. He's come around quite a bit. We had a conversation the other night, and he straight up told me he didn't necessarily, like, he was questioning his faith that he's had since he was a kid.
Wow.
Yeah. So I don't want to rock the boat too much because I know he's going through so much. I mean, they were married for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
But at the same time...
I don't know, man. And I hate to end the call on that note. Definitely call back some other time or shoot me an email at aria@freetalklive.com. Maybe I can offer some more insight or something. But
I gotta say, you gave a good answer. I just don't think family always needs to be blood.
Yeah. We're out of time for tonight, though, unfortunately. But you can hang out with us on our social media server in the meantime at social.freetalklive.com.
Advertising is simple. It starts with someone who has a need.
Mom!
And then gets more specific.
Mom, I want pizza.
Then we add urgency.
I want pizza tonight.
Before you know it, your GCN advertising message is reaching millions of listeners. Listeners who are definitely in need.
We want pizza!
You see, advertising on GCN is simple. Your message meets their need, and the result means new business for you. Tell us about your business, then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message to feed those who have an urgent need.
We want pizza tonight!
GCN has the most affordable national radio advertising rates, period. And millions of people listen to GCN radio programs on over 1,000 AM and FM and XM stations and streaming audio live. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email, advertise@gcnlive.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422. Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for Life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.